We welcome all of you and we wish us one another the blessing from the Lord. The word which we heard and the songs which were sung touch our hearts. And I believe that God wants to continue to speak with us. And it doesn't have to be always connected with an earthly effort. It can also be fatherly. It can be in the way as the Lord did then. He read from the prophet Isaiah. And then he sat down. And there came precious words from his mouth. It was not the outward emphasis which was important, but the word which went forth and which fell into the hearts of the individuals. I would like that we once again stand up and pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you with all my heart on this day. It's not just the remembrance on that what you did once, O Lord, but the wonderful knowledge that it happened in us and with us. We could have an experience with you. You looked for us and you found us. You redeemed us. We are your inheritance. Lord, outwardly exhausted and tired, inwardly strengthened, consolidated and settled. Faithful Lord, be today in a special way in our midst. May all the great things pass by our spiritual eyes, which you have done. Give us grateful hearts and fill them with your love and with your spirit. Faithful Lord, you are giving us the privilege to bring your word to your people, which you purchased. Let it happen in reverence and holiness, as it is worthy to you. O Lord, stretch forth thine blessing hands over us and lift up thy countenance over us. Give us your blessing and your peace. Let that what happened on Calvary become a reality in our lives. Make us living testimonies of your suffering, of your dying, of your resurrection, that we are the proof of that, what you have done. O faithful Lord, we praise you and we worship you. Hallelujah. To your wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I would like to read some scriptures, connecting it with that what the Lord has done. You know that I, and perhaps all of us, remember the 2nd of April 1962, and this with gratefulness toward our God, who lets all things happen according to His decision, but letting us not be uninvolved as spectators, but included us as partners in His great program, in His plan of salvation. In the word of introduction, we have read, we have heard, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." When we will read now from Moses and from Joshua, we can find out that God in the days of Moses gave the promises, and then He fulfilled them in the days of Joshua. Here it says, "After we have done the will of God, we will receive the promise." And see, it is written in connection with the coming of the Lord. Verse 37 in Hebrews 10, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." It seems as if the Spirit of God would have dictated these words already then for our time. And this is so wonderful, that in the Word of God, all of the plan of salvation from the beginning until the end is written down. Prophets and apostles spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they wrote, and one could have said, "Where are the things of which you have spoken, about which you preached, which you prophesied, which you have written down? Where are all these things?" Perhaps there were critics who read these epistles in the course of the centuries, and some might have thought, "Paul, Peter, you apostles, you expected the coming of the Lord in your time, and ye were disappointed." No, they expected it, and all the believers until this very day, they, with longing in their time, have expected the coming of the Lord, and they will see it, because it didn't take place yet. They didn't wait in vain. If the coming of the Lord would have taken place in the meantime, and they would have been disappointed, then the critics perhaps would have even have munition for their rifles to be able to shoot. But so all are waiting who went before us unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we will meet the Lord together. All from all of the time of grace will meet the Lord together. For yet it is a little while, then he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. There was no other generation in which this word applies so precisely as in our days. For yet it is a little while, and he that shall come will come. But of him it is of course written in the book of Acts, in chapter 3, in verse 21, here we read, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. First, it must be restored. What God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And this is the time of restitution of all things of which the prophets have spoken and written. By his grace, we may have a full part in it. Today, I would like to read a number of scriptures. Now, from 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 16, perhaps from verse 15, here the apostle writes, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my disease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter was an eyewitness with James and with John on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the supernatural glory of God came down and Jesus Christ was transfigured before their eyes. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Just as John saw the Lord later on the Isle of Patmos, so Peter, James, and John saw him already on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were witnesses, eyewitnesses, ear witnesses of this wonderful glory of God. Jesus, our Lord, said to his disciples, ye are my witnesses. Only he who has seen something can testify to it. Thanks be to God for the eyewitnesses. Thanks be to God for the ear witnesses who passed on everything to us, what they have seen, what they have heard of the word of life which their hands have handled. Beloved, it were not men who let their fantasy get loose, but who were called by the Lord, ordained for the ministry, men of God, who later on should bear witness of that, what they have seen and what they have heard. The same we read, of course, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, John should bear witness of all what he has seen and what he has heard, and then write it to the seven churches. Thanks be to God that he has written. And if you think about that, John was banned onto the Isle of Patmos, and nevertheless we know that it was for a divine purpose, cut off of this world, sentenced by this earthly government, connected with God, brought there for a specific purpose. John could have quarreled with the Lord, saying, I was faithful to you, I have served you, why must this happen to me? But it happened for a very important purpose. And Peter could write here, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we have heard the message from the mouth of a man of God, who was an eye and ear witness, who could confirm, yes, whom God himself confirmed, and the word which he brought. Here it is written, but where eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were not eyewitnesses, but we have the testimony of those who have seen, who have heard, and who have written. And to us, these experiences are so fresh and alive today. We believe them as if we would have stood there, as we would have seen, as we would have heard and experienced. This is the proof that the Spirit of God made the Word in us to a living reality. In verse 20 it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. If we connect the one verse with the other, in the one it says, that we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the other verse, it says that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Brother Branham never interpreted this or that Scripture, but by divine revelation, he put the significance of the word upon the lampstand. It is a big difference whether somebody interprets the word of God or whether by revelation the meaning of the word is told to the people. What do we want? Interpretation or revelation? So that we understand the meaning of the Word of God. The difference is this. All scribes interpreted. John had the revelation of the Word and of the will of God. In our time, the scribes are interpreting, but the prophet sent by God, by revelation, received the meaning of the word of God and told it to the people of God. Perhaps we may not grasp the difference at this moment, but unto a certain extent, I can already see it, what kind of difference is between human interpretation and divine revelation and meaning of the scripture. And I believe that we as people are gathered in the presence of God, not to hear interpretations, but by revelation, receiving the meaning of the word of God, of the Bible prophecy, which is connected with the return of the Lord, together receiving it, not an interpretation, but the divine meaning by revelation of the Holy Spirit. Many can interpret, if not all, if they make efforts, but only God can reveal it. And the word comes to the prophets, and this was also fulfilled in our days. Let us go to Deuteronomy, to the conclusion of that, what happened at that time among the people of Israel. Here, in Deuteronomy, in chapter 33, it says, I read verse 3. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in his hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. All the saints are in his hand. Many times we have taken the word into our mouth. Know that the Lord leads his saints in a wonderful way. Here something very great is told unto us. All his saints are in his hand. But this is not all. We could now go to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, the last two verses. And there it is written, the seven stars in the right hand are the seven angels of the seven churches. Both is in his hand, his messengers and his people. He addressed prophetic statements through the mouth of Moses unto the tribes of Israel. To all the word of prophecy was addressed. Beloved, the people of Israel in the Old Testament is a shadow of the church in the New Testament. He loved the people, all his tribes, all his saints are in his hand, and they sat down at his feet. Everyone shall receive of his words, which Moses gave, the prophet commissioned by God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's what's all about. Not what Moses had to say, but what God, through the mouth of Moses, had to say. How wonderful. Here it is written, so that everyone, not just some, not just two or three, but that everyone, all, from the first to the last, receive the words of God. And this is today the same. God did not yet change. We as His people are the saints in His hand, and His messengers are in His hand, and through them He spoke. And all who are part of the people of God, they have a part in the divine words, in the thus saith the Lord. Not just some, but for everyone was something. Dear heart, let it be said unto you today, not just for some, but for every one of us, for you and for me, apply the words of God in this time. Did we understand this? At that time, the Lord has spoken just before the people of Israel crossed the river Jordan into the promised land. At that point of time, the Lord revealed by the words of a prophet, by the ministry of Moses, yes, this was the crowning of his whole ministry, when he could say in prophetic words to every tribe that what God had to say. This was the finishing of his ministry. Here it says, in the same chapter, in verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. He is thy sword. He is the word, and the word is a two-edged sword. He is your and my redeemer. Your and my sword is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Here, the people of Israel are told, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, a people saved by the Lord. Who art thou and who am I? We are the people saved by the Lord, purchased on the cross of Calvary. Today, the Lord wants to call out to us and say, understand that your position is even higher than that of the people of Israel. The New Testament church is, of course, the body of the Lord, And Christ is the head. The promises which are written here apply and have even more weight. He is the shield of thy help and the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. What was it? God has saved his people. All his saints were in his hand. He led them on his way. For everyone he had words of prophecy. And then it says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, Church of the living God. Who is like unto thee? What could be placed next to the people of God to be compared with it? For our sakes, the Lord went and paid the price on the cross of Calvary. Already in the Old Testament it is written, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thou art mine. And on top of it, he has statements, prophetic revelation for his people in this time. And here is the difference between all the churches and of the Church of the Living God. The others are laughing and say, they are following their Amen. But we know what was given unto us. A people saved by the Lord, by the blood of the Lamb, called out from Babylon to hear the words of prophecy for this time and to believe them. Right in Joshua, it's written in chapter 1, verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And then he divides the land and sets the borders. Moses received the promise and gave it to the people of God. Every one of these tribes had a promise of God, a prophetic word, and I tell you, the church is under the prophetic word for this time. We have heard the words of prophecy, and nevertheless, in verse 6 it is being said, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance. Be strong and of a good courage. How often I had to think about that Joshua would have liked it if Moses, even as an old man, perhaps with a staff in his hand, if he would have been still there, so that he could go to him, speaking with him. What a support would this have been for him? But Moses was taken away. He was allowed to look into the land of promise, but not to cross the river Jordan. Now Joshua was left behind alone. Until then, he could watch and be a witness of that, what God has done. But from that time on, the responsibility was on him. And I say it once again, how often he probably might have thought, oh God, if only Moses could have remained with us, then I gladly would have done everything what you demand from me. But the Lord encouraged him. Be of good courage and be strong. Sometimes we have the impression that servants of God feel ready to take on anything, that they have everything under control. A true man of God comes before the people of the Lord with trembling and hesitating. There's no one who was called by God who comes and is self-reliant. For we are aware of our responsibility, for which we have to give account to on that day. We are fully aware of it. How often I thought, oh Lord, how nice it would be if your servant and prophet would have lived. You also would have liked to see it. This is understandable. God takes his prophets, but with his people he walks on. But the people with whom he walks on is under the prophetic words and under the promise which God has given. Do we understand the parallel? Not just the general proclamation, but promises God has given. And every tribe he placed under a prophetic word. The same it is with the seven church age messages and the seven church ages. Every church was under a prophetic word, and every church had its messenger and the message for their time. We are living at the end of days, where everything comes to its completion. And I mentioned it last Sunday in Zurich. In the last church age message, the Lord, as the risen one, introduces himself as the Amen. Thus saith he who is the Amen. Not only who can say Amen, saying Amen we can all, but he is the Amen. This he didn't say in the first, not in the second, not in the third and the other, but only in the last church age message he could say it. Thus saith him who is the Amen. He is the Amen, the realization, the completion. In him all things find its completion. Oh, if we would understand it, how perfect God's word is. Just think of it yourself. In every church age message, the Lord introduced himself in a way as the first, as the last, as the Son of God. You can read it yourself. But to the church age of Laodicea or to the angel, he says, this saith he who is the Amen. Amen means so be it. Let it be done this way. In him was the beginning. In him is the completion. And in the last church age message, he introduces himself as the one who brings everything to its completion. And we may live in this time. Be of good courage and be strong, for I will give you the land which I promised to you. And as I've been with Moses, so I will be with you. If you then read about the preparations, then it is written already in chapter 1, namely from verse 11. It says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. I have spoken already about this word, and I brought it in connection with a divine commission for these last days. On the 2nd of April 1962, I was absolutely not aware of that such a word is written here somewhere. I was also not aware of what was being said to the full extent. But at that time, the Lord said, store in food. All of you, you have read the testimony, and it happened even at the lifetime of Brother Branham, so that I had the opportunity, and I thank God for it, that I made use of it, that I was flying there, and that from his mouth I could hear the confirmation. If it says, store in food, for a great famine is coming, then there is a need of a right understanding to place these things correctly. If we now look back, then everything has been fulfilled in a wonderful way. When Brother Branham at that time said, Brother Frank, you misunderstood the speaking of the Lord. It doesn't deal about natural groceries, neither about a natural famine. He said, God will send a hunger for his word, and the food which you have to store in is the revealed word of God for this time. As then in the days of Moses, so God made the preparations. And if you now look back, then of a true heart we can say, God has opened the doors unto the ends of the earth. Now, it's exactly 80 countries which I could travel to bring the precious message of our God to the people of the Lord in this time. Eternity will show forth the fruit. And I dare to say, also you are the fruit of the divine message of this time. The Lord spoke to you. He called all of us, and we recognized that a word was addressed to us in this time. How important is the fact that we not only say, we are redeemed. This millions are saying today, and they stop with it. Others are saying, we believe in the Holy Ghost, but they reject the Word of God. Beloved, the bride church sat down at His feet, and she's led and guided. To her are the prophetic words of God addressed. And therein is the difference. We could go back to Isaac. Isaac was the son of promise. Earthly speaking, the same father, the same circumstances. But from God's perspective, a vast difference. One was born on the grounds of a divine promise. When he came into this world, Isaac was under the blessing because of a promise which God has given. Paul writes to the Galatians, "Ye beloved brothers, as Isaac was, ye are the children of promise." The people of Israel sat down. Moses opened his mouth, and God spoke through him. And the words reached all 12 tribes of the people of Israel. Hallelujah. The same is in this time. Doesn't matter what kind of tribe, what kind of nation, on which continent we may stay or may live. The word of the Lord reaches each one who is part of the people of God. And we come to a rest in the presence of the Lord to hear the words which were promised unto us. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Also this Peter has written in 2 Peter in chapter 1. Not only that he was an eyewitness, but he put the emphasis on the word of prophecy. Right after he said, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord. And then he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Beloved, we must have the word of prophecy, for therein are the promises contained which were given for the end time. And it is necessary that we believe them with all our hearts. You have the word of prophecy, and ye do well when you take heed to it, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. What took place? Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But by the revelation of the word of prophecy, it has become light at evening time. And we have seen this divine light which shined in a dark place. And in this light, we want to walk. As the third point, Peter emphasized, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. These are the three main things which are written here, to which we have to take heed. Own interpretations can only say so much to us that the divine meaning by revelation we have not yet received. Everyone who still interprets or who listens to interpretations, receiving them, has not received yet the divine meaning of the Word of God. Is this clear now? Did we understand this? Everywhere it is still being interpreted. You didn't catch me until now, and you will not catch me until the last day, that I take any scripture to interpret it, unless by the prophetic ministry was a statement given, and with it divine revelation of the Word, and this I pass on without interpreting. For some people this is too slow and too quiet, but rather quiet and slow and waiting until God does something than to fall into one's own interpretations and by this closing oneself to that what God has to give. Do you understand tonight of what it's about? I cannot preach mightily, but the Word of God is mighty. Moses was the prophet sent by God. He was leading the people of God until the end. The Word was laid into the Ark of the Covenant. Then came the words of prophecy, which are nothing but the revealed Word. The people of the Lord had to walk on. How could it walk on without a promise, without a word of promise? People of God, we can only walk on if we have a word of prophecy and a divine promise. And I may add, we have both, the word of prophecy and the promises which are contained in it. Did we understand this? And then Moses went home. He was allowed to look into it. And don't take it personal now. But before Brother Branham was called home, he had the wonderful experience that he was taken up into paradise. He saw millions of people. They were all young, and they said, "Our beloved brother, we are happy that you have come." He was allowed to look into it, and he saw the glory of God. Then the Lord has taken him home. With that, the work was not finished yet. God walks on with us. His word is in the Ark of the Covenant, and the words of prophecy, we have heard them. They have become divine revelation unto us. All the saints are in his hand. Know that the Lord leads his saints in a wonderful way. Know that for all of them he has a word of prophecy before they enter the land of promise. Hallelujah. a word of promise, not somewhen, but at the end of the ministry of Moses. This word of promise was necessary so that the church has something to which she can cling to. Beloved, we have many words of God to which we can cling to. We may be full of confidence and courageously walking on. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Amen. In Him, everything what belongs to the counsel of God finds realization. And when we read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, there it says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him Amen, unto the glory of God by us." I can't no more. I must come to the close now. But I hope that we all understood it. Through Him came also the Amen. He is the Amen. But without the body, the head is not complete, and we are the members of His body, are now being put together through the Holy Spirit to walk forward. For we have heard the words of prophecy, and we believe them with all our hearts and with all our souls. Now we understand why we don't have to be sad anymore. As God was with Moses, so He was afterward. The pillar of fire was no more seen, but God was with them and fulfilled everything what He promised, among them, with them, and through them. The same is in these days. We have heard the word of God, and the promises for this time we received and believed. Because we did that, we will be rewarded. To close now with a word of introduction, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For yet a little while, and He that shall come will come. Hallelujah! He will return in our generation, and we are waiting for it, and we will experience it. Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. Amen. I believe God has spoken in a mighty way through His precious and holy word, and we are His people, His elect. It's of course not in vain that He speaks. It's not in vain that He called us. It's not in vain that we sat down at His feet. Oh, brothers and sisters, everything has its reason and purpose. And therefore, we are happy and grateful for this time of grace. It ends. But beloved, one thing remains. That what we received from Him, this has an eternal value, and we are so happy and so grateful for His precious and holy word. we see God has taken care from the very beginning for His elect. He gathered them at all times. He spoke to them. And they had to go through some things. But everything had to be this way. Also in our days, we are so happy and so grateful. And whatever may come now, we want to trust God, persevering. For this is the most important, that we persevere in faith, in confidence to our God. And today, the word stood out to me from John 14, where our Lord Jesus comforted His disciples when He was about to leave this world. He said, "Fear not, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in Me." And right in these days, we must believe in Him, for He has become everything to us. Praise be to His wonderful and glorious name. Now, we want to pray together. I see we have prayer requests for brothers and sisters here, for sisters and brothers from Finland. We want to lay everything before the Lord. He knows how to make things well. We can do nothing, but He is able to do all things. And so, we want to lay everything before Him, telling Him everything. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You again together, O Lord, for Your precious and holy word. Your word is blessed. It remains blessed. And everyone who receives of it is blessed from the beginning until the end. O God, we thank You for Your presence. You are not far. You are nigh, Lord. And therefore, we worship You. And we also pray for our precious brothers and sisters in Finland. The one sister is in the mental hospital. And for the other family who has got in trouble. Lord, You know the trouble. You know the sickness. We command in the name of the Lord that Satan lets these people go, that they are free. Lord, You can do it. Beyond asking and understanding, we thank You and we praise You, Lord, for Your grace and for Your faithfulness. Lord, I thank You also for all brothers, for all sisters, for all who have come, Lord. Oh, Lord, You will give them what they have need of from the riches of Your grace. You will not let them go unblessed from this place. Lord, I thank You. I worship You and glorify Your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to His name, which is above every name. Hallelujah. Praise be to You. Amen.